The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
That's really neat. You know, Dr. Bachman and his precious family joined here not too long ago. He got up, did a fantastic job on the special, and then, of course, Brother and Mrs. Swark tonight doing a fantastic job on that. And they just moved here, and so that is, isn't it neat to watch new church members just dive in and say, I'm just going to serve Jesus. Isn't that neat? I think that is so fun. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verses 30 through 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 through 32. And I on Sunday night, well, let me kind of tell you how I do. On Sunday morning, we look at our Sunday school time as education. And then on Sunday morning when I preach, I try to give an encouraging truth. And I try to preach principles that will help, principles that will instruct, principles that will guide, principles that will make you have a desire, hopefully, to draw closer to Christ, and but also be encouraged as you do so. You know, I always give the gospel on Sunday morning, webbed in there or at the very end, as we have many, many unbelievers that are present, and giving them an opportunity to hear a clear presentation of the gospel. On Sunday night, I do a lot of exhorting. You know, I exhort you to serve Christ. I exhort you to walk with God. I exhort you to step out by faith and do the things that you know you should be doing. And then on Wednesday night, it's back to education. I'll pass out a sheet of paper normally on a Wednesday night, as you're familiar with our Bible study program, and I will teach on Wednesday night. You can fill in the blanks as I teach, and then you have something to be able to take home, to be able to help somebody else along the way, and such as that. Now, tonight's going to be a little bit of both, a Wednesday night and a Sunday night. I'm going to exhort you to obey this truth tonight, but I want to teach you a little bit about bitterness. Why is it that people have problems with bitterness? In the Bible, you'll see these scriptures, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 through 32, I read just a moment ago, where the Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you, away," it says, "from you with all malice. And be kind one," it says, "to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Many years ago in Wales, it was in 1866, coal mining was very popular. And so they would go into the sides of the mountains and they would dig out the coal. And they would dig out as much as they possibly could. And as years gone by, you know, these mounds of coal just became ever so big. Matter of fact, from 1866 to 1966, there was a huge mountain of coal that had been established there in Wales, right above Aberdeen. And right above Aberdeen, one day, all of a sudden, the rains begin to come. That coal began to shift, and that coal came coming down the side of that mountain. There was a small town there that was called Aberdeen, and that coal came down on that side of the mountain on that town, crashing down on an elementary school, killing 2 tons of coal now, crashing down and killing 250 elementary students. It was tragic. All those young kids getting killed on that day. But here's the tragedy. It just built up and built up for 100 years. They just piled it up and they piled it up and they piled it up. Then all of a sudden, on a tragic day, it all broke and came down the side of the mountain. You know, that's what happens with a person that has unforgiveness. It just builds up and it builds up and it builds up and it builds up until one day it all comes crashing down on you and somebody else. Husbands get hurt, wives get hurt, children get hurt. Those that are relatives, they get hurt. And bitterness, what is that? Well, you know, bitterness is simply somebody that doesn't have a spirit-controlled life. It's when the flesh totally takes over. There was a pastor, and this is a very true story, much like the one I just gave you, but a pastor went to a hospital, and he'd had a heart attack. This happened 3 years ago. And he had a heart attack, and he was in the hospital fighting for his life. While he was in the hospital, church members got together and said, "Well, we don't agree with the pastor the way he's led it this way and led it that way," talking about the church. "And so since he's going to die anyway, let's just go ahead and vote him out while he's in the hospital. And so they voted the pastor out while he was in the hospital fighting for his life. He got out of the hospital, he came back to the church, and he was so hurt that the people he gave his life to had decided to vote him out, that he never got back in the ministry. He became bitter, his wife became bitter, his children today are still living with a whole heart of bitterness. Now, can I tell you, bitterness is a real thing. Bitterness is something that's very serious. And if you don't do a self-evaluation, one day you are going to get your feelings hurt. One day somebody's going to step on your toes, sit in your lap, and spit in your eyeball, and you're not going to like it. One day somebody's going to talk bad about you behind your back, or they may talk bad about you for the whole world to see as they get on their wicked Facebook page and begin to use that to discredit your character. You know, and before you know it, you could have unforgiveness that leads to bitterness, and bitterness could destroy you. So let's look at it tonight from a scriptural standpoint. Take your Bible and go to Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 15. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. The Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and whereby many be defiled. And so the Bible talks about bitterness here. Now, let me give you a couple of statements. I want to talk to you about the contamination of bitterness, how bitterness, it contaminates. I mean, here it is. It's underneath the ground, if you will, please. But now it's a seed, by the way, stay with the thought. Before a seed could ever grow, before a seed could ever bloom, before a seed could ever come out of the ground, the seed first has to be planted. And so here is somebody that allows the seed of bitterness to be planted inside of their heart. Maybe somebody did something against them. Maybe somebody was unkind to them. Maybe somebody did truly mistreat them. Maybe somebody, if you would please, got in their business and they had no right, according to the person that has the bitterness, to get into their business. But needless to say, you see that there's the contamination of bitterness. The Bible says that one day it will come up. It will come up. It doesn't say that if it comes up. No, friend. One day it's going to come up. And the Bible says that when that seed of bitterness does spring up, the Bible says that it's going to trouble you and it's going to defile many people. So now understand this. If you understand the contents of what it's saying here, it's going to hurt you, but it's really going to hurt other people. You're going to feel it, but other people many times will feel it worse. I see parents, if you will, they're troubled by something, but it defiles their children. It destroys their children. You see, I know people do this all the time. When something bothers them and they talk about it, they get it out. And it's because they're getting it out, they feel great. They walk away, they got it out. They got it out to their husband. They got it out to their wife. They got it out to their children. They were able to get it out. And because they got it out, they feel great. The only problem with that is the person they got it out to. Because you see, the Bible says here that that person that had the bitterness inside of them, it comes up because it troubles them. But the problem is it destroys other people. Because you see, other people have not been given yet the grace of God to be able to handle that, because it's not God's will that you share your bitterness with other people. That's right. And that's how come it defiles other people. All right, so statement number one, there's the contamination of bitterness. Statement number two, there's the cause of bitterness. What is the cause of bitterness? There's several causes. Sometimes it's a person not willing to accept the will of God. And sometimes people get bitter because they're not willing to accept the will of God. See, my place in life is not to find out where I can make me a place to serve God. That is not what I'm supposed to do. What I'm supposed to do is I'm supposed to find the will of God and walk therein. I'm not supposed to convince God to change his will for me. I'm supposed to get in his will for my life. Some people try to make room for themselves. Some people try to make positions for themselves. Some people try to, if you will, please, dive in and look at me. I'm coming, you know. Somebody's walking down the hall not too long ago, and they were walking real. And I said, you know, how are you? And he said, well, I tell you what, I'm so good. He said, if I could open up my chest, you'd see the word S. He said, preacher, you know what that would stand for, don't you? I said, yeah, probably stupid. Hey. Now, may I say this? Look, there is no Superman. You and I have to understand that we're able to survive because of the good grace of God. Yeah. And the very second that we think we can survive all by ourselves is the very second your marriage starts to crash. It's the very second you're not giving your children what they need, because after all, you think that you've got all the answers. You think that you have arrived. You think that you're Mr. or Miss Know-It-All. And because of that, you won't accept instruction. You won't accept that which is help and blessing, because you've got it all by yourself. Now, can I tell you, the Bible talks about a proud person, and a proud person will fall. Now, here's what we see. The Bible says here in the book of Ruth, chapter 1 and verse 20, the Bible says, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. Says, for the mighty have dealt with me bitterly. Now, wait a minute. It says, dealt very bitterly with me. All right, so here, Naomi, been gone for 10 years. Her sons married heathen girls. The boys died. Husband is now dead. She's returning back from to the homeland. She gets back to the homeland. She's walking down the alley in the streetway. People's coming up. Hey, Naomi, how are you? She said, No. Don't call me Naomi. No, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because I am bitter. Now, why is it that she got bitter? Did she get bitter because she lost her husband? Did she get bitter because her sons died? Did she get bitter because they married heathen girls at that time? Did she get bitter because they left the homeland during the time of famine, went to another place, and it did not work out the way she thought it should work out? We don't know. What we do know is this, that she came back differently than when she left. And you know, you can go through struggles in your life. You can go through complications in your life. You can go through ministry struggles, relationship struggles, financial struggles in your life. And can I tell you, I've seen people that go through difficult times in their life, and here's what happens. All of a sudden, they don't get better, they get bitter. And I've watched countenance change. I've watched marriages change. I've watched children change where they once had a good relationship with mom and dad. Now they don't have a good relationship with mom and dad. It is strained and things are not right simply because they've allowed bitterness to come in. So what causes bitterness? Not willing to accept the will of God. Sometimes bitterness is caused because we refuse to release the offender. The Bible says when somebody offends you, you're supposed to forgive them. How many times? 7 times 70. Now, if you multiply that, I believe that's 490. And by the way, if you ever forgive somebody 490 times, you're probably going to lose track. All right? Now, can I say this? So how often you say, so-and-so offended me. What do I do, preacher? Get over it. Get over it. You know, here's what I'm finding out about our society today. And Brother Heminger and I were talking about this in the office prior to me preaching. And I said this to Brother Heminger. I said, you know, here's what I'm finding out about our present day society. It's all about emotions and not about principle. My daddy would wake us up at 4:45 in the morning, and he said, son, he said, I've got X amount of wood needs to be cut. I've got in the south field, it needs to be, if you would please, broken up. Get the tractor, get the disc, whatever you got to do, get it done. If you said, dad, man, I'm not feeling well, he would say, you don't have to feel well. You cannot feel well in the field as well as you cannot feel well in the bed. I want it done when I get home. You say, he had no mercy, but he taught us how to work. See, nowadays, here's what we have. Oh, you know, little child has a sniffle, so mama has to stay home, daddy has to stay home, all the kids have to stay home, the puppy has to stay home, the parakeet has to stay home, all the neighbors have to stay. You know, it's amazing to me. In my day, I never heard of anybody going to the ER because they weren't feeling good. But nowadays, as soon as somebody's not feeling good, they go to the emergency room. Now, by the way, if you have a degenerated problem and you've got a disease that's unmanageable, I'm not cutting on that. I'm just saying that there was a day when we were not let, you know, people are breaking their marriages up today because they get emotionally distraught at each other. Well, I don't think he loves me because he hasn't held my hand in 6 hours. Well, I don't believe that she loves me because she hasn't kissed me in 9 hours. He'll make it up. He's going to kiss your toes. Now, I'm saying this tonight, please understand me, and here's what I'm trying to get across. I'm simply trying to say this. I'm saying that there's a cause for bitterness. Hey, sometimes somebody comes up, they offend you. I'm sorry, that's life. Somebody's sitting in your chair tonight. Somebody's sitting in your pew tonight. I'm sorry, your mother hurt your feelings. I'm sorry, your dad hurt your feelings. Oh, I'm so sorry. I mean, somebody crossed you. I mean, somebody upset you. I am so sorry. But can I tell you tonight, be a big boy. Be a big girl. Get over it. Don't let people get under your skin. There's not room enough for both of you. Not willing to accept the will of God causes bitterness. Refusing to release the offender causes bitterness. Removal, think about this if you would please, of that which is a perceived right. They won't remove that. I deserve this. This is mine. I can't believe that so-and-so got it. God chose me. They got the blessing. We have to be careful. Let God be God. Jonah chapter 4 and verse 9, the Bible says, and God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry at a gourd?" He said, "I do well to be angry even unto death." He said, "Man, I'm so angry at the gourd, I'm going to die angry." Now, by the way, that's a rough way to die. Can you imagine dying because you're bitter at someone? You imagine what your sourpuss face is going to look like laying in the casket? You know, horrible way to go. There's the contamination of bitterness. There's the cause of bitterness. Let me hasten. There's the characteristics of bitterness. How do you know if somebody's bitter? How do you know if you're bitter? Bitterness remembers details. Stay with it now. Bitterness remembers details. Just like a child studying for a test in the school or in the college, they remember every detail. A person that is bitter will remember every detail. Bitterness accuses others and excuses self. When a person is bitter, they're always accusing someone else. But isn't it funny? They may have the same sin, but they excuse their sin. James chapter 3 and verse 14, the Bible says, "And if you have bitter," it says, "and if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish." The Bible says in James chapter 3 and verse 16, "For where envy and strife is, there is there is confusion and evil work. Now listen to this. James chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. James chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says, is sown in peace of them that make peace. All right, so God said, wait a minute. When all of a sudden somebody comes against you, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to be pure towards them. You're supposed to be peaceable towards them. You're supposed to be gentle towards them. You're supposed to be somebody that's easily entreated from them. You're supposed to be full of mercy. You're supposed to be full of good fruits. You're supposed to not have partiality, and you're not supposed to be a hypocrite. Now, that's a wagon full. So it sounds to me like when somebody rubs you the wrong way, then you're not supposed to rub them back. Your wife says something that is just unkind. You don't put her head in the dirt and rub her nose back. And you don't do that verbally. One of the biggest mistakes you guys will ever do is when your wife is not having a good time with you, you start talking down to her like she's a child. Because I'm going to tell you, real quick, she's going to grow up in your face. It's going to happen. Now, may I say this tonight as kindly as I can. The characteristics of bitterness is this. Bitterness remembers details. Bitterness accuses others and excuses self. Bitterness causes loneliness. You know, nobody wants to be around somebody that's always bitter. Every time you talk to them, they're going to talk about so-and-so. Every time you talk to them, everybody's treating them wrong. You know, I can't understand. Why is it that everybody's against me? Why doesn't anybody love me? You know, I'm just so unhappy. You know, people leave church because they've been hurt. And they never got over it. Husbands and wives leave each other because they got hurt. They never made it right. People break up friendships because they've been deeply wounded. And they never healed. Can I tell you, dear friend, if you ever get hurt, don't run from your problem. Because you'll never get over it that way. Run to your problem. Go to that person and say, look, we need to talk about something. We need to work this out. I want to make sure that my relationship with you is right. I want to make sure that your relationship with me is right. Hello? So the Bible teaches here, what is the characteristics of bitterness? Bitterness remembers details. Bitterness accuses others and excuses itself. Bitterness causes loneliness. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 15, the Bible says, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, here's what the Heavenly Father says, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Sounds kind of lonely to me. Bitterness reveals itself. By the way, watch this. If you take an orange tonight, and you got those big old masculine hands, you take that orange tonight that's really, really juicy, tender, on the borderline of being just downright yum yum, or you take that tangerine and you squeeze that, you know what's going to happen? The same thing that's on the inside comes out. When you squeeze somebody that is a sweet Christian, I don't care what it is, sweetness comes out. When you squeeze somebody that's a bitter Christian, I don't care what's on the inside. Whatever's on the inside, it's going to come out. You know, here's what the Bible teaches. James chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, doth a fountain send forth, it says, at the same place, sweet water and bitter? No, whatever's in there is going to come out. Whatever's in the mountains or in the fountain is going to come out. All right? And so I said this. I said there's the contamination of bitterness. There's the cause of bitterness. There's the characteristics of bitterness. Let me give you this, and then I'm going to give you the cure. But there's the casualties of bitterness. Let me tell you what some of the casualties is. Bitterness blinds. It blinds. James chapter 3 and in verse 14, the Bible says, and if any, it says, of ye have bitterness, envying, strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. All right? And so it's in the heart. It's inside. The Bible says in John chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says he that hateth his brother is in darkness. They can't see it. You know, I've seen people that are bitter towards other people. They don't even recognize they're bitter towards them. They just can't stand to be around them. And every time they get around them, they got to talk bad about them. Now, can I tell you something, friend? That's called bitterness. So bitterness blinds. Bitterness binds. It binds. Acts chapter 8, verse 23, the Bible says this, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and is bound of iniquity. So bitterness binds somebody, makes them tight. Bitterness does this, it bristles. Bitterness will cause a person to bristle. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14, the Bible says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? You know why? We're always bristling back. You can't tell them things, because as soon as you tell them, they're going to excuse it away. They never have a problem. It's always somebody else's problem, and they bristle. They have such a high opinion of themselves, they have a low opinion of everybody else. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 19. The Bible says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. So here's a person that's been offended, yet it's hard to win them. Try win their friendship, it's like bars on a castle. So what does bitterness do? The casualties of bitterness is it blinds, it binds, it causes you to bristle. Here, it causes you to blurt out things. You ever see somebody, it's a natural overflow? It blurts. Job chapter 7 and verse 11, the Bible says, therefore, he says, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. So what was Job doing? He was blurting. It was the natural thing on the inside, and he blurted it out. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, here it is, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Yeah. So here's what he says. He says it causes you the blurt thing. Hey, what do you think about so-and-so? I'll tell you what I think about so-and-so. And they blurt. Okay, what's it do? Bitterness blossoms and bleeds. It blossoms and bleeds. I read you this verse a moment ago, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. The Bible says, looking diligently, lest any fail of the grace of God. All right, wait a minute. What happens when you fail of the grace of God? Okay, come up and offend me. Here we go. Offend me.
I don't like that pocket square.
Okay. Now, I don't want to offend you. I don't offend you. Okay.
I don't like that tie either.
Okay, I don't want to offend you. I'll take it off later.
Okay.
But don't get offended. Somebody comes up and they say, I've had people come up different times, and they say, you know that sermon that you preached? I just want to tell you, I didn't like it. I said, well, thank you for telling me. Anything else? Well, yeah. Sometimes people need to speak. I got a dear man in our church. He said, thank you so much. I don't need you to offend me anymore. And dear man in church meets me in the lobby every single service. Meet me in the lobby. He'll come up. He'll shake my hand. And he'll say, that's good preaching. One day God's going to give you more people. I say, thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Every service. Now, can I tell you, that's encouraging. That's encouraging. Why not look for ways, even in the minute way, to encourage somebody? You know, I love these guys. Come here. I said, man, I catch these guys out in the hallway. I said, man, that is sharp. Man, you look sharp. That's a sharp tie, man. I saw him walking in just a few minutes ago. I said, man, they're sharp shoes. Are they new? He said, oh, no, they're not new. I said, still look sharp. You know, I'll catch these little guys, impressionable guys. I said, man, that's you look good. Did your mama buy that tie?
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, wow. I knew it wasn't daddy. And that is sharp. Man, I like those boots, too. You see what I'm saying? Pick, man, that's a neat looking sweater. You did good. You did good. Did you buy that? Did your mama buy it? Did you steal it? No, okay. But, you know, take and encourage them. Help them. The men are the same way. You know, men have what we call an ego problem. And they like somebody, if you would please, to, you know, pat them on the back with their ego. Yeah. Sunday school teachers are that way too. You got a Sunday school teacher, hey, look, go up and pat them on their ego. Say, man, you know, hey, that was good. Now watch what I'm saying. You say, oh, preacher, hey, I can do that. He's one of my young people years ago. Now watch this. I'm saying this. I'm saying that, look, I'm saying that there's casualties. What are the casualties? Here's the casualties. It blinds, it binds, it bristles, it blurts, it, if you will, it will blossom and bleed. Let me give you this. Bitterness builds. Naomi was 10 years gone. When she came back, she was so bitter, she didn't want to be called anything else. Built that much. What's it do? It blisters. Now I'm going to give you the cure. It blisters. The Bible says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. When you have a child at home, don't always be getting onto them for everything. Balance it with praise. Man, you did a great job. You cleaned your room. Man, it looks great. Man, thank you. You picked up the trash. Super. Man, you just did a great job. Hey, thank you so much. You helped to clean off the table tonight. Couldn't have did it without you. Thank you so much. Wow, the other day you took the car out. You ran it. I had it on full. When you took it, you returned it on full. That was really good. Thank you so much. Hey, the other day I watched this. Older people were going out of the church. Son, I watched you. You opened the door for them as they're going out of the church. That's called being a gentleman. I appreciate you being a gentleman. Hey, boast on them. Hey, your daughter helps you in the kitchen. Maybe not even feeling well, but she gets up. She comes in the kitchen. She helps you. Boast on her. Thank you, sweetheart, for helping me in the kitchen. You made mama's load just a little bit lighter. Instead of saying, fold your clothes, why don't you do this? Next time they do, say, sweetheart, thank you for folding your clothes. I cannot begin to tell you how much that helped me. You know, don't be somebody that's always rule, 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 rule. By the way, if you're that way, your kids will not want to build a relationship with you. Here's what they're going to want to do. They're going to want to stay away from you. So build the relationship. Look for ways to praise them. Look for ways to pat them on the back. Look for ways to stand back and say, hey, come to their ball games. You be the loudmouth on the side. Your little son's taking that soccer ball and he's kicking it down. Stand up and say, hey, that's my boy. Go, buddy, go. He's going to look over. Then somebody's going to run over him. He's going to be laying out there on the gym floor. Just, yeah. When your son is out there on our basketball teams and he's taking that three-point shot and he misses it, don't climb his case when he gets home. You stupid little boy. Your grandmother could have hit that shot. And she's blind. No, don't do that. What you do is say, hey, wow, man, I saw you. Your form. Wow, your form. Your form was absolutely fantastic. I watched you as you eyed the basket. You dribbled. You went up. You shot. Okay, so you missed. But next time you're going to hit it, let's practice that together. You say, preacher, that's not me. Then make yourself do it. Build the relationship. You know, somebody said this, bitterness causes a person that holds on to the harm. In so doing, it will rob you of your joy. It'll rob you of your satisfaction. It will saturate your mind. It is a root that will grow deep and destroy you forever. Dr. S.I. McMillan wrote this in his book on none of these diseases. He says, stay on this thought. He said, the very minute you start hating a person is the very minute you become enslaved to that person. Let me give you a cure and I'm done. I'll give you a couple of them. Statement number one, cures the bitterness. Here it is. Receive the grace of God. God's been good. I mean, God's been good to you. Receive his grace. Now it says here, it says Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail, it says, of the grace of God. So why is it people get bitter? They're not receiving the grace of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, therefore, it says, come boldly before the throne of grace, that you may be able to obtain mercy and find grace in the help of need. So receive the grace of God. How is it that I can have a cure for bitterness? Take ownership. You know, bitterness has to be owned. It has to be owned independently from others. If you're bitter, it's not your husband's fault. It's not your wife's fault. It's not your kid's fault. It's not an academy's fault. It's not a college's fault. It's not a preacher's fault. It's not a church member's fault. It's not a policeman's fault. If you're bitter, it is your fault. Because you've allowed that to take seed inside of you, and you should be more yielded than that. So take ownership. What do? Release both the offense and the offender. Release them. How do you overcome bitterness? Receive the grace of God, take ownership, release both the offense and the offender. Look at your husband and say, honey, the other day when you did that, man, that hurt me, that offended me, but I want you to know, I love you, I forgive you. Man, I this is great. By the way, that would give you peace at night. Come on. You ever see or hear about two married people, they go to bed at night mad at each other? Smoke in the middle of the bed. You know, smoke coming out the ears, puffing like, you know, two pit bulls, not talking to each other. That's not a good relationship. Here it is, almost done. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Says, listen to it now. Being dead, it says, to sins, we should live unto righteousness by the by his stripes we are healed. So what do? I come to him, I ask him to help me with my bitterness. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14, the Bible says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Years ago, and I'm done. Years ago, Robert E. Lee, traveling through a bombed-out battlefield, came to that which was the house of the man he knew as Mr. Charles Flood. As he came to Mr. Charles Flood's house, the wife of Mr. Flood's came out, anger all over her, eat up. She came running outside and she said, those Yankees, look what they've done to that tree. Our family has owned this farm for hundreds of years and they have destroyed the family tree. He didn't get off his horse. He rode around his horse around the tree. Came back over to where the woman was standing, and he said, I've got one advice for you. Cut it down. And he rode off. Cut it down. You know what you need to do tonight if you've got bitterness in your heart? You need to get it out. You need to cut it down. You can have a great relationship with your wife, with your husband, if you would decide tonight just to be Christian about it. And do what you should do in handling your business with your bitterness. And it is your business. But you've got to decide that you're going to do right. You'll never have the relationship with your parents that you should. You will never have the relationship with another church member that you should until you decide, I'm going to make this thing right. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the privilege to be able to be in church.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.